Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hey guys, welcome into the Six Again podcast. We actually have a surprise guest on tonight. A couple of hours ago, Adam teed us up that he wasn't going to be on because he had an event planned with his son. But here he is. So welcome, Adam. What's going on, mate? Him. Haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on?
I'm on holidays.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Actually, that is true. We haven't heard from the Six Again podcast in a week and a half now. Haven't heard from me in about 3 weeks. Obviously,
yeah, we'll put it on, Jared.
All got shit on. But yeah, we're back, ready to go. And we've got a shit ton to cover tonight because everything happened. So first things first, how you going, boys? What's going on, Wal?
Yeah, I'm here also, by the way. Yeah, no worries.
Hey, here's your introduction.
I'm good. like I said to you earlier, mate, I'm just happy to be inside a warm house. Of game of touch footy tonight and wet, cold, and that's not what you need when you're getting old.
He's actually the youngest out of all of us, but okay.
Yeah, it's been a tough 28 years, mate.
And Adam, so what were your plans with little Atticus tonight?
So we had a camp out. So he set up the room and we all had dinner in there. So I did up like a shepherd's pie and some sweet potato chips, and we all put the put a fire up on YouTube. So it had like crackling in the background, and yeah, we all had like a turn all the lights off and did camp stories and all that sort of stuff in his room, because he's got this new double bunk that's got like a overhang. So we turned it into kind of like a tent. Yeah, it was awesome.
And then
he was out by like 7:15.
Yeah.
You slip something and it just pops up and he's asleep.
That's it.
I was going to say, like, I remember
chloroform's the most underused parenting tool.
I remember doing that as a kid, but
chloroform.
You do it in our bedroom. Mum and Dad had six kids. They fucking utilized everything. they put us out in the backyard. You didn't want to go out the backyard tonight, mate?
That's a little wet, I'll say. The weather's as poor as my footy tipping this round. Far out.
Yeah, so about the footy tipping, I'm glad Adam's here because I've no idea how to check it. So Adam's going to jump on that when he logs in and has a look at it.
I'm really glad you're here. That's why I did that segue.
Jump into it, mate.
All right. 65 GT and Eagle Man 13 both got 7 out of 8. So this is over on footytips.com.au. Hop Nation sponsored footy tipping competition. Hop Nation Brewing Co., I should say. Heaps of people got 6. A bunch got 5. And I forgot my last tip, so I got 4. My worst score of the year. And
did I get less than 4? Because I tell you what, I had a shocker.
Let's have a look. Oh, yeah, I'm scrolling down. Ben Hunt for Dally M, not 4. Please. 4 as well.
I'm glad.
I tipped against the Dragons too.
This is actually a pretty positive night for Wal, because we don't have to go through his shit tips.
Yeah,
didn't do anything.
So I dropped from a point in front to 2 points behind. So Rocking Horse Road is now on top on 106. The underscore Irk is on 105. Then Reggie Sidestep, myself on 104. Timbo 21, 102. And Spencer Blues and Toby Hunt both on 100. Getting into the nitty gritty last third of the season, I'm pretty sure. We'll say that. Street competition. Oh, that stayed alive. No, it didn't.
Oh, so much drama.
I went Parramatta. I forgot about that. My streak finishes at 13. One behind the still leading R_3 on 15. Dish Sharks is on 14 at the moment. So they are in second place. Bugger. Oh, good for them. Sorry. Bugger for me.
So yeah.
Let's not talk about fantasy this week.
Yeah, fantasy, yeah. So obviously the big news coming out of the day, we're going to get through the weekend stuff, but we've put a time limit on the amount of time we're going to talk about Origin. And we've also, I'm going to throw this out to everyone. I've put in a bit of a leash on me blowing up at you two about certain things. So I'm going to not do that, hopefully, again, until after Origin 3, most likely. But Origin 3 teams got dropped today. biggest changes were Felice Kaufusi obviously had to go to America for his sick father, I believe. There's not too much news about that, which there shouldn't be. It's a private issue. And Todd Gilbert got named on the bench. Jeremiah Nanai goes into the second row, despite news reports of potentially Papali and Gagai getting dropped. My thoughts on that was there's not much coming through to bring them in, so they're the best they can with the experience they've got anyway. There's no reason to drop them. For New South Wales, big loss of Payne Haas doing his shoulder, which I'm going to get to later. I'm a bit curious as to why he played if he had a dodgy, he had a very dodgy shoulder, and they ran him on for the Broncos and he lasted not long for them and it just got exacerbated. I feel like Broncos probably would have been safer to rest him anyway after Origin, but...
He still played decent minutes in that game on Saturday.
I know, just like... His shoulder was obviously an issue, but then they, you know, had another crack at him and it's exacerbated. He's out for 3 weeks now.
He played 65 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Now. Sorry. Yeah.
And right. He had that shoulder issue going into game two, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or
was it after game two?
He got it in game two. I'm not sure, but like, is there a question that did he put himself on that field and go, nah, boys, I'm right, or I don't know.
But he's obviously got four shoulders. He only injured one of them. He's fine.
And for that, a big surprise, Jordan McLean gets the 8 jersey. Other than that, there's no changes for New South Wales other than the 18th man with Jack Whiten going in the 18th man, which, great news for Cronulla, means Nicho Hynes can play this weekend. So, Wally, you're up first, mate. You got a minute and a half. I'm timing you. What are you reckon
Am I talking about both teams?
What you've got the floor, you can talk about what you want.
Queensland by 30. No. I think Queensland probably made the right decision now that I've probably had more time to think about it. Like you said, Gagai and Papali'i, there's no better options. I don't think Gagai was ever in danger of getting dropped. Papali'i, I thought, might have got pushed back to the bench, but I can live with him starting. Nanai starting is probably better for him. It just gets him into the game. He doesn't have to come on and prove a point. It just sort of eases him in, I guess. And I think Gilbert's the right option. He can play middle. He can play edge. So I would have liked to have seen Jaden Sewer get a run. He's been really strong for us this year. But as a Dragons fan, selfishly, I'm happy he didn't get picked.
Yeah.
I don't know what New South Wales have done with their changes. Like, I don't see Jordan McLean I don't know. He doesn't scream Origin to me. He's not a damaging runner. He just, I don't know. I'm happy that he's been picked as a Queensland fan. I don't understand Jack Whiten not being picked in the team. He was their best player in game one. Through no fault of his own did he missed game two. And I'd be more fearful if he was playing centre instead of Crichton. But I'm relatively comfortable. I think it's going to be a pretty close game three.
Yeah, awesome.
How did I go for time?
I wasn't timing. Adam, you're up.
Typical. Bloody hell. I think I mentioned about a month and a half ago about how well Jordan McLean had been playing. In saying that, I didn't think he'd be picked in the Origin side. But also thought, can you remember when he first came onto the scene and he was getting picked for Australia for 3 years straight? And he was just
14 games for Australia, sorry.
Yeah. And I was like, he was one of the best in the game. What? And then he went to
14 games for Australia.
Yeah.
Played World Cup, yeah.
It was him and was he still playing with Steven Asi, but who was the other big prop? Like, they were just the locks. Like, not locks.
When he was playing for Melbourne. The
front row.
Yeah,
when he was playing for Melbourne, the two Australian front row you just knew who they were going to be. So it might have been Papali'i. Could have been. Anyway. I was with Jared. Clemmer's got... I don't think Clemmer will ever play Origin again if he isn't going to get a run this year. For the changes, I agree with Wallace. Who would have had Sewer starting with Nanai. I think if Nanai's starting, he doesn't come off at all. So I'd had Sewer and Nanai starting with Tino Lock. I would have had Carrigan and Arrow up front. And then drop Papali, because I know, like, I get his experience and all that, but even the games for Canberra in between Origin, he hasn't been doing anything. So
you mean drop him altogether or just the bench?
Yeah. No, I reckon, considering it's a winner takes all, I want the guys in the best form, and I think that's why Gilbert got picked. He's been in strong form all year. So my bench would be Grant, Catewell, Gilbert, and Collins, because I think Collins, Carrigan, and Arrow are all playing better than Papali is at the moment. That's not my time. Get out.
It is. I gave you an extra 5 seconds before I jumped in too.
And yeah, New South Wales, Whiten should be in the centres instead of Crichton, for me as well.
Yeah, look, I believe Clemens should be playing. If there's anyone who's going to, he's been.
Hey, you already did your bit.
No, I didn't. He's been the form.
You went first.
I did not, you muppet. Stop interrupting me.
Sure, I did.
I get the.
Your 2 minutes is up.
He's going to be the form. He has been close to the form prop of the comp. He's been this way better this year. One of the few shining lights out of Newcastle. I agree with Wal. Jaden Sill would be a massive, like, from New South Wales perspective, I think he'd be a really intimidating factor with him and Nanai starting. But I actually think Bo Fermor's a bit hard done by here, because we're talking about how impressed we were with that Billy Slater was acknowledging me by bringing him to camp by game two. He was the only second rower in that 20 and between that 18 and 22 position from game two, and he was, you know, he was there and he didn't get a run, and they brought in someone else who wasn't there. I was sitting there just like, well,
he's, I think that's more in, like, Joseph Suwali for New South Wales and Jacobs, well, in Reece Robson, yeah, this time
What was he? Does Slater think he'll be there in 3 years' time? I don't know. I just think that his form this year, it could be argued that he's played better than Gilbert. Like, he's been pretty good.
He's not a bench player, though. Like, he can only play back row.
He can play back row, centers, lock. He can play a lot of positions. He's one of the quickest forwards in the competition, too. Like, he could probably outstrip Murray.
With his playing style and Gilbert's playing style, they're the sort of players where their best game and their worst game, there isn't a massive gap.
Yeah,
and when they're that style of player, I don't. If they're there this year, they'll be there in 4 years. Kind of.
Yeah, I just thought that he was more in calculation by getting named. I also think that probably not if one of the wingers got injured, because one of the wingers got injured from New South Wales. They'd probably bring Josh Adakar in, but Suwali would be more in the conversation, if that makes sense, because he has been in New South Wales camp the entire series. But
except for this one.
What? And not in this not one? In this
no, because Robson and Saifidi came in Gutherson.
Well, that's filthy.
I don't get how Nico Hines isn't in the 17. It's just, anyway.
Yeah.
Like, we'll do that in the preview show.
Despite the fact Adam keeps interrupting me during my time, and I didn't interrupt him. I did interrupt him, but I gave him another 5 seconds. So shut up, Adam.
I swear you went first.
I didn't. But yeah, look, we'll talk about it more next week. We'll have more of an idea, and there'll be more stuff coming out. Talking about Origin. So Saturday night, Latrell Mitchell returned, and he played a really strong game. Was shrugging people off left, right, and center. I'm pretty sure Marnie still has his boot in his side of his face. And then after the game, he literally turned around and went, "Look, I'm going to rule myself out of Origin. Good luck to Burden and Crichton." Oh, Crichton was a Whiten. No, he named Crichton.
He said Crichton.
Good luck to the boys. I'm going to rule myself out and stop the headlines right now. That's despite the fact that an hour before the game, Jason Demetrio, the Rabbitohs coach, came out and said he must be picked. So I don't know if there's a bit of a miscommunication against the coach and player there. But Forts boys, what do you reckon about that? Is it the right thing? Is it within the spirit of Origin not to want to play? Or did he do the right thing, go, "Look, I'm probably not match fit enough to survive in Origin and be impactful as I could if I was played 5, 6, 7 games in a row. I'm probably going to be a detriment. I won't go in there with the confidence I could. I'm better at pulling out now." What do you guys reckon?
I don't think he was going to get picked, to be honest. No, I don't think he was going to get picked. He wasn't, he didn't, like, yeah, he had some good moments, but he didn't shout out to me that he's ready for an Origin match.
Yeah, but despite that, do you think what he did ruin himself out is the right thing to do?
Like from a South's perspective, yeah. Like, and like you look at it from South's point of view, they've spent so much money sending him over to America. They've been in without him for close to 12 weeks. Imagine him coming back, plays one game in the wet, comes back, plays Origin, gets injured again, down for the season, right? Like, it's just, it undoes everything that South have done for him. And I know that could happen playing for South next weekend, but...
But you'd rather happen for South.
Yeah. Oh, I think what he did was he just tried to... He just killed the media storm, right?
Yeah. And what people have been referring to was, you know, Cooper Cronk's article when he said he'd come out of retirement to play an Origin decider because it's what makes you... Jamie Lyon, when he retired from Origin at, like, what, 24 or something like that, you know, the Queenslanders uprunners said, you know, Origin's the pinnacle, you should be playing. What do you reckon, Adam? Do you reckon it's the wrong thing or...?
I think, to me, it's cut and dry. He did 100% the right thing. Straight up, to me, there's not even a argument about it. I don't even see why it's a storyline, and it wasn't until I didn't see Cronk's article, but James Hooper wrote some article saying Queensland wouldn't do it, and I'm saying, dude, Latrell Mitchell at 20% can do his job better than Hooper can at 100%, so it's not worth fucking reading anyway. He knows his body better than anyone. He's been through hamstring, he's been through knees. He probably knows, even after that South game, he'd be feeling what his body's like. He knows if he can't give 100% to New South Wales, he's letting the team down if he walks out there. If Cooper Cronk said he'd go out and play, that's completely different, because the drop-off from an Origin-level halfback to someone else filling in for an Origin halfback's a lot bigger drop than an Origin centre to another centre. They don't have as big an impact on the game. If he wanted to play and he was in the squad, he'd get picked ahead of the other three straight away because he's a better player than the other three. But to me, he did the right thing. He took Fittler's decision. He made Fittler's decision easy, took it out of his hands, made sure Fittler wasn't going to get asked about it all week. And there was the only thing I saw on social media was support from the public and outrage by the media because they didn't have a story.
Yeah, no,
it's a non-story. He knows he'll be this. Him and Trbojevic will be the two centres next year, regardless of how well these guys played this year. Doesn't matter.
I 100% agree. I think that if he did it right, and as in right for me, is calling Fittler, you know, that afternoon and going, mate, I'm going to rule myself out.
I'm and 100% he did that. We don't.
I hope he did. We'll never 100%. Know if he did or not. But yeah, I think it's the right thing to do.
It's like Payne Haas as well. Like he. It's not the Broncos ruling him out. I would say, I can't play Origins. There's no point in going out there playing 15 minutes and leaving New South Wales a man down for 65.
Yeah. So,
non-issue.
The old segue, Adam, strikes again. So, talking about media creating headlines out of nothing. So, Wayne Bennett, a couple of weeks ago, came out and did a full, you know, conversation with the media about how, you know, I'd love to have Cam Munster break his contract to come up. I can't remember what he exactly said.
He shouldn't even be saying
that. He's just taking the piss. He knows it's not true, but I think sometimes Bennett has fun playing with the media and sits there the next morning reading the headlines and going, hey, look what I did. It got to a point on the weekend where it was like 4 hours before the game that Melbourne played that they ended up losing to Manly, that Munster had to call a press conference to literally say, guys, I'm sticking with my contract. There's been nothing come out of my camp about this. And can you stop? Which I think is quite funny because, you know, NRL 360 has been using this as their main talking point for about ever since Wayne Bennett said it. New news every single week.
Yeah.
And everyone know who the manager for Cam Munster is? He sits on NRL 360, the panel, and he plays up to it every week. Like it is an absolute farce.
To be fair, Brayton Nass is not the one bringing it up. It's always
he leads the conversations. He's the, he's yeah, the
he doesn't decide what's on the playlist. Like, he doesn't decide what's on the playlist.
Yeah, but he has the ability. He goes, guys, I'm part of this too. We're not talking about this anymore because it's a non-issue.
He does a lot of the time, though. He shuts down a lot of the speculation there's talk about.
Yeah, I just don't like, because, you know, he works for Fox Sports and he's a manager for Cam Munster. And half the articles are coming out of Fox Sports. So if he didn't want all this blowing up, he could go in there and go, guys, we need to stop this.
If that was the case, though, Fox Sports wouldn't have anyone to be able to commentate. Because pretty much half the commentators work for all the different clubs.
I hate it. It annoys me. And the fact that Cam Munster had to waste time out of his day to call this bullshit press conference.
Why couldn't they do that with a statement, though? Why does it have to be a press conference?
Because it would. How else would it stop? No one believes statements in the NRL.
I think what Bennett
and Tigers release a statement every 10 minutes, and no one believes what the hell they're saying.
I think what Bennett did here was worse than what Robinson did with the refs in his press conference, because he's
coming out literally strikes again.
Look at that. What Bennett's done here is disrupted the preparation of not just a player, but a club, the PR, and all that for the Storm. They don't need this shit right now. But to me, that's way worse. That's having an influence over another player who's there's no timeline in to make his decision or anything like that. Bennett should just shut the fuck up, because he's meant to be the coach of an expansion team that 90% of the league hates already because of how they've gone around recruiting players and talking to other clubs.
Yeah, we'll get
how else are they meant to recruit, though?
No. Like, you can recruit, but there's a honourable is not the right word, but calling out other players saying, are you going to come play for us or not? Pretty much straight to the media in compared to behind closed doors. Telling clubs that we're not going to sign more than this many players, then going ahead and doing it, like they signed another Penrith junior this week.
We'll get into that, yeah.
Who cares? Like, honestly, it's a business. It's the
feeder. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Thing, but what did he did with Munster is...
Did you see his comp? Did you see the actual quote?
Bennett's one.
Yeah. We'll try and get him next year. If not, we'll have a crack at him when his contract ends.
He said, we're confident in landing him in 2024 and we haven't given up hope for 2023. That was his quote.
It's all a media blow-up. And
Bennett's the puppet master, 100%. Yeah. He knows what he's saying, but you can't. Every club does this. They're always trying to get people to break their contracts.
Look, I don't remember.
Wherever Redcliffe meant to get their players from. And like Bennett said, he said people are blowing up about, like Penrith are blowing up about stealing
Katoa,
their juniors.
And then.
Bennett said, welcome to the NRL. This is what happens when you got a successful club.
Yeah.
I think it's just, to me, with the Munster thing, it's like the fourth time this is now being brought up, maybe the fifth time it's been brought up. And every time it's been brought up from the Dolphins' end. And it's every time we hear about it, it's coming from them. It's coming from them.
Actually, because this isn't just strictly in Munster's situation too, because... Put your hand up if you remember the whole Caelan Ponga situation about a month and a half ago. Like that was cooked, and it was all because of the media just heard a whisper of the janitor telling the garbage man who told Hooper, which we're pretty sure that's where they get their fucking sources.
Isn't Hooper all three?
And no, that's an insult to janitors and bloody garbage man. Bloody hell. And that's the thing. Like they got these whispers and just became a complete blow up. I don't know how much it was true. I can't tell you what happened behind closed doors, but this is a recurring theme for the new club expansion. And the only way to test if it's correct or not, or if it's a standard these days, is one, compare it to Gold Coast 2008, where this did not happen. And two, compare it to 2025 when a new team gets announced. I don't know when that happens. I can't remember. So that's the only way to compare if it's standard, or you can say, you know what, Bennett's playing puppet master, as Wolf said. Like, which one is it? You won't know until the next one comes around and there's as much controversy about it. That's my opinion anyway. Like,
it's hard to compare to what happened to the Titans because it was 15 years ago, right?
No, that's right. But like, they signed Bailey, Preston Campbell. Who's that?
They also had 2 years to recruit.
Yeah, I don't think you have to compare it to expansion teams because clubs sign other players.
No, but other clubs players. No one's chasing 30 players in a 12-month period. No one's ever had to do that.
But it's only been months of that to this point where they've had
Ponga
get it back
was
like
disaster.
Five times.
Ponga was off contract at the end of this year, though, so it was a bit
technically. Player option. But yeah, I just don't know. You won't know. And it'd be interesting for the next expansion if they actually allow that 12 months or 24 months because...
I'd love them to do something like what they did in the NHL when Seattle came in this year and you did an expansion draft.
Well,
where clubs can protect, clubs are allowed to protect 8 players. Yeah, there were asterisks with regards to players that they just drafted. So they had the qualifications, and that listed like out of their squad of 30, there was 18 that the new club could have selected from, and the team was allowed to protect 8 of them. So there's 10 players up for grabs. And the expansion team could pick whichever one that they wanted. They could only get one from each club.
That's such an unknown for a quality team. I don't like that. And look at Pembroke. They had, 14 out of 17 who were juniors. They deserve to protect every single one of them because they developed that team. I don't like that at all. But my thing is that, a lot of people blowing up about the fact that it's not enough time to recruit 30 players in 12 months. Well, and the NRL should be assisting them. My point is
24 months.
What? 12 months.
You can recruit players a year before they contract.
I don't know. For Redcliffe to put a team on the field for 2023.
I know.
They agreed to that segment to put themselves in the NRL, and that's what that's one of the selling points of signing Wade Bennett. He's going to bring people in. But I'm curious as to see what NRL thoughts on this process and how Redcliffe are handling it as to whether they'll give, the next team 24 months or 12 months to do it. It'd be interesting to see what the parameters are around that when the NRL put down. But yeah, we'll... okay, so there is some positives coming out of the NRL this weekend. And one is that the NRL All-Stars next year will be going to Mount Smart Stadium, which is amazing. But how good Mount Smart Stadium was on Sunday afternoon, when the Tigers rocked up and Warriors played them. And I'm pretty sure everyone on the planet, even Tigers fans, even Tim Sheens, knew that Tigers were going to lose this game because there's no way Warriors are going to lose it. Like, Sean Johnson stepped up for his, he stepped up for the big game occasion like he always does. Everyone played well, the Warriors, and Tigers didn't score a try. So it was a massive day in New Zealand Rugby League. It was amazing. I loved it. What do you guys reckon? Do you guys get to watch this game?
Yeah, it was a horrible game, but the occasion was really good. It's not going to Mount Smart Stadium, by the way. It's going to Rotorua, which is going to be even better.
That's, New Zealand's 5 minutes away from everything.
Yeah. The atmosphere was awesome. The players walking out was awesome. They had the smoke machines going off. It was a brilliant occasion. If it had jumped from there to the end of the game, but we did have to watch the Warriors versus Tigers in the middle of it. But I just felt so good for the fans. You could see, I think it was Bunty Afoa was in the tunnel. And he actually looked pretty close, having tears in his eyes about what the occasion meant, I think, to the players and the fans and the families. And it was the only downside of why it wasn't the highlighted match of the round, considering the event that was taking place. But those who had the privilege of having pay TV or KO got to watch it, and it was...
wonder if NRL planned to send the Tigers over there because they knew the Warriors could actually beat them.
Oh, they knew that it was going to be this round for fucking 3 months. They could have rescheduled. No offense, they could have rescheduled the Dragons Canberra game because it's not exactly a blockbuster. Neither game was.
Well, it's just like fucking
there was a big public interest in the good news story of the Warriors being home. It was a pretty much a no-brainer to have that one on free to air.
Yeah, but that's also, like, don't forget the time difference in New Zealand. It was prime time on a Sunday afternoon to watch a game of footy over there. And it was a reward for the New Zealanders, not necessarily us watching it.
Yeah.
True.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, awesome game. So, we've got 8 minutes left. I'm going to quickly run through the signings for the last week and a half and the injuries coming out of this weekend. Freddie Lossick extends at the Warriors. So, he was recently signed with the Warriors as a transfer from Roosters. So, he's a pretty good player, old Freddie. Daniel Saluka Fifita has transferred immediately from the Roosters to the Rabbitohs as of right now, and the Rabbitohs have extended Davey Moali. So he's a pretty highly regarded prop at South Sydney.
I find that Saluka Fifita one very intriguing, right? Because he was the one that punched Jairo on the back of the head when he was on the ground. Mm-hmm. Remember when there was a big build-up last year?
That was Jairo or James Tedesco.
No. So that was the game after that. You mean when Arrow yelled at him and then saw that he was unconscious and called a trainer over? Yeah.
Okay.
And then it was the first time the Roosters played Rabbits afterwards, and Saluka Fifita literally just punched Jairo in the back of the head and got binned. Brilliant. And then they were almost going at it when he got binned as well. So
interesting. First game is going to be fun. Yeah. Yeah, so extended Dave Moali. Selwyn Cobbo, so he was already signed in 2023, end of 2023. So the Broncos jumped ahead of that, and now he's extended to end of 2025. What?
No, don't worry.
Hey, yeah, nervous I am, but nah. Yeah,
it's free agency in the NHL. When they extend someone, it's like for 6 to 8 years. And then I'm just looking at the comparisons, like we've got this awesome young talent. We're going to lock him up for an extra two.
Yeah, but
they'll ever get him.
That could have been his decision. Like, that's not necessarily on the Broncos. So, yeah. And then, as Adam alluded to before, Dolphins signed, and I think this is one of their strongest signings, Sean O'Sullivan. They finally got a halfback to part the 12-year-old they got at playing six, and Elise Katoa. I can't remember his first name.
Can we just throw out there, we knew this was going to happen in round 8 from an inside source.
There you go. I was parking on top of it, guys.
After the Warriors game.
I think everyone knew back in August when the bloody Dolphins got signed, and the head of recruitment is a guy named Peter O'Sullivan, and he recently signed his son to the Warriors, and then he transferred to the Panthers, and now he's back.
We did get confirmation then.
On top of that, his son-in-law, Peter O'Sullivan's son-in-law, just signed with the Roosters in Matt Lodge. We're not going to get too far into it. It's his third club within a year. For this contract, Broncos and the Warriors. Well, Warriors paid him out, but Broncos are actually still paying the Roosters, so Matt Lodge can play against them.
Lucky he's much more mature now, as Trent Robinson said.
Yeah, well, look, I don't want to spark up Adam. You'll tee off worse than I did last podcast that I was on.
Got to say, Warrior Hargraves, Matt Lodge, and Lindsay Collins.
I think Warrior Hargraves would be good for Lodge. Like, as much as he crosses the line at times, he does have channeled aggression, right? Like he knows how to go right up to that line, and every now and then he pushes over it. But I think he might bring the best out in Lodge. Like, I don't know.
Look, have a look at it. It's the reason Saluka Fifita got an immediate transfer because they signed Matt Lodge. So, you know, keep an eye on that. I didn't actually see how long he signed for, but I'm guessing
it's just the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, everyone expected him to end up at Dolphins, but they have way better props in a forward rotation, so I don't know how he could fit into that 17.
Just on Trent Robinson, can I say the funniest tweet I saw on the weekend was a Penrith supporter It was on the Trent Robinson getting fined for his comments against the referees, where he said, maybe you should
jump ahead, dude.
Yeah, no, this is a tweet. You wouldn't have even seen this. A guy saying, well, maybe if he, or what, maybe if he copied a good coach, like a great coach, sorry, like Ivan Cleary, and coaches seemed to be more disciplined, he wouldn't have to worry about the referees. And I went, did he seriously just compare Trent Robinson to Ivan Cleary as if Trent Robinson had to improve to get to Cleary's level? So I replied back, isn't it 3 premierships to 1? And then I didn't get a reply back from him.
Oh, well, that's...
I went, oh. I was like, oh, these lost three finals.
And then, the last one, you got Mason Teague. So he's a young gun coming out of Pembroke. This is what Pembroke are blowing up about. And he signed with the Dolphins for next year. He's only really young, but they put him in the top 30. That's how highly this kid's rated. Is interesting. So Pembroke have reacted to this kind of stuff with Katoa, who signed next year with the Dolphins from Pembroke. He's completely out of their plans. He's playing A-grade local footy for the rest of the year because Pembroke pulled him out of the SG ball, Harold Matz, or whatever the hell he plays. Because they're like, well, we're a club. We've got to look towards our future. So the better young players that we've got coming through are going to get a run in this. All right, guys, we're going to have a bit of a break here.
Oh,
and we're going to come back to...
One more sign. Well, not. There's whispers around. Oh. Lots more than whispers at the moment.
Didn't hear this from James Hooper, did you?
Oh, God, no. Manus Finau's court case is starting, in a week's time? And Manly's already reached out to extend him for a further 2 seasons. Because
stabbed someone, he should have gone to jail.
Well, no. He is pleading not guilty. but they've already promised a top 30 position for him next year. So there's 2 other clubs have reached out to his management. I wouldn't be surprised if West Tigers are one, because they've already signed his brother, Sione Finau. So I want to keep an eye out on...
I just want to throw something out there, Adam. Didn't this dude stab someone in the church? Allegedly.
It was a quite a large gathering, and the person who stabbed was part of a group that he was associated with, whether it was him or not. Supposedly at the start, it was very much so, but a witness came forward. I think we talked about this last year, stating it definitely wasn't him, and they wanted the NRL to look into it because COVID had pushed the court case back. It didn't happen, right. But anyway, the court case starts this next week. I can't remember the exact date.
We'll be back next segment with talking about the referee controversy over the weekend. We will be back.
Was that?
Okay, so everyone blew up about this over the weekend. It was the biggest deal on the planet. The referee obviously causing people, the ladder that's dictating where everyone goes on the ladder, all their calls are just ruining teams, ruining clubs, ruining coaches. The whole world is dependent on what referees do. Players do not depend at all on the result. But there's 2 big decisions that the referees have, Graham Annesley has apologised for. One was the tackle from Sam Verrills on Scott Sorensen. Scott Sorensen ran straight at him. Sam Verrills got awfully low for this generation of players. Like, it was really strange that he ducked that low. And Scott Sorensen pretty well tripped over him, to be fair. Like, it was just a trip, and he went past the horizontal, which in this day and age, 100% no, cannot go past the horizontal. The referee didn't have the benefit of analysing it and doing it. He just saw someone get essentially flipped. It looked really bad. I'll give you it looked worse than it actually was. When you re-watched it, it looked very innocent. And it was a pure accident by Sam Verrills. And then the next call that he apologised for, final seconds of the Canberra St. George game, Raiders were given 6 again rather than a penalty after seemingly deliberate moves from Dragon star Ben Hunt to slow any final last-ditch plays down. Wolves already smiling about that. So start at the Sam Verrills one and then build yourself up to blow up about the St. George one. Well,
Sam Verrills one was not a penalty ever. It's not a definition of a dangerous throw. Like, he didn't even throw him. He was still on the ground. He got run over the top of. It's not a dangerous throw.
Can I ask you a question?
Anyone can watch that.
If you were the referees, put yourself in a referee's thing. If you saw someone go past the horizontal in a tackle, and as a referee, you're more instinctual than anything else when something goes wrong because you have to be that quick in your decision-making. Because he blew a penalty straight away. It wasn't referred from the bunker. Do you blame the referee for it or for with that kind of thinking? Or do you go, mate, you should have seen that where Sam Verrills was planted, pure accident, wasn't dangerous tackle, ridiculous. What's your thoughts on that?
It's a difficult one to... Like me watching it live, I didn't think it was
a
penalty. But when it's happening that quick, like you can understand why he gave it, but I don't know. Like,
because he can't take back a penalty.
No, the bunker can just pick and choose when they come into the game, right? Like, my issue wasn't with that penalty. That Penrith got the rub of the green the entire game. And I gave your brother shit about it. And, like, there were two other calls that spring to mind, like the Angus Crichton one. So, like, he did pull Crichton back. Three plays later, they go back and bin him and go a penalty. But that's not playing the advantage. Advantage lasts for one play. The bunker can't interject three or four plays later and then blow a penalty and then sin bin someone. Like, you get that moment or you don't get it at all.
Yeah.
On that one, I 100% agree well with what you just said. But then also we have coaches in the press conference afterwards saying, yeah, he'll get suspended or whatever. We didn't get the reward for it on the field at the time, which is what that does by going back three plays. I don't agree with them doing it either, but I'm just saying that.
Have you guys ever seen Tedesco that mad on the football field? Usually he's pretty good, but I've never actually seen him react like that.
But it was excessive, the amount that went Penrith's way, and they've had it the entire year, mate. Like, I can't think of a game where they didn't get the rub of the green with the referees, and this is probably going to trigger some of the Penrith listeners, I guess. But
not as bad as what I did last year.
Another one, they called a pass off the ground when the ball or the ball carrying arm hadn't even hit the ground. They got penalised for that. Like, just, I don't know.
Is that one of those moments where it was just, you know, off the cuff? Because that wasn't bunker called either. That was called straight away, wasn't it?
That was from the referee as well.
Yeah, and he was about 5 or 6 centimetres from the ground, that ball. Wasn't it? That elbow holding that ball?
Oh, like it was close, but you could... Once again, you could see live watching it that he hadn't hit the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you can go through any game and find examples of calls that didn't go someone's way, right? But it just seemed that everything just went the way of Penrith, and the Roosters just. And I'm not one to feel sorry for the Roosters a lot, but they did definitely cop the raw end of the deal. Compare that to what happened in the Dragons game.
Here we go. We'll get Ricky Stewart on the line. Wall versus Stewart. Let's go.
All I can say is shit, Canberra. I can't stand Canberra. Like, Ricky Stewart, I'm not a massive fan of, and they're just scrubs, man. Like, Jordan Rapana, they get what comes to him, mate. He's an absolute grub, Jordan Rapana. Like, just anyway, that's off topic. But okay, let's get to the discussion point at the end. So
the meat.
I've got no issue with Ben Hunt from marker, and this is going to sound very biased, but I thought he was straight, maybe left a fraction of a second early. But isn't that the desperation?
In this game, we watch everything in triple slow motion. Remember, well,
that's right. The issue is he blatantly gave away a 6 again to slow the ruck down to try to prevent the play of the ball. That was
we didn't see this again. Coming.
That is the issue. That is a penalty, and that's, and I guarantee you, if there was no six again, he's not doing that.
No.
It's just him exploiting the rules. And if you look back to Origin 1, who was the person that flopped in and prevented the last play of the ball of the game? Ben Hunt. Games of shit. Dally M. Anyway, so I've got no issue. I feel like if the dummy half has taken a step out of the ruck, he's fair game. Yeah. And you watch that play, Tom Starling's taken two steps right, looking at where he's passing it. Show some desperation. If you don't want to get tackled by the dummy from the marker, pass the ball off the ground. Like, I don't know. I don't think that was the issue. And as a Dragons fan, if they had penalised Ben Hunt for the flop, I would have been happy with that. But I guess you flip that. If that happens in the first 70 minutes of the game, it's probably a penalty. The marker. Well, actually, no, it's probably a six again now that I think about it. But
well, depends how many times it happened before that.
Yeah, true. It goes in swings and roundabouts, though, right? Like, we played Penrith early in the year and we got no calls go our way and we lost in a tight game. You know what? We finally got one go our way. So, you know, Canberra cried poor, but I'm sure they probably had some calls last week against Newcastle to go their way to get that win, too.
I don't want to talk about that game.
In Ricky Stewart's defense, he was prodded to, like, you could just hear, because I made sure I listened to the conference.
Yeah, everyone.
And you could just hear the journalist just trying to prod him, just like, come on, mate, we want to hear you find.
Yeah,
and
look.
He basically got the journalist to say it was wrong, and then he agreed with it, and he said, oh, you know, I'll probably get an apology or you know, some justification as to why it wasn't a penalty. But he said, to be honest, it shouldn't have come down to that. He did actually say that in his press conference. So you got to give him some respect in that regard.
Yeah. And look, I saw all those ones. I saw the Sam Berra's one. Wasn't a penalty, but I understand why the referee did it, because he saw someone, you know, get put in that position. And if you didn't penalise it, you're going to have what happened a couple of weeks ago when someone did get flipped on their head and he was only suspended for a week, and then Alex McKinnon came out and absolutely roasted him in the media. So it goes, you know, it, as Wall says, it goes both ways, swings and roundabouts. But, like, the amount of, I still go back to what I always say, amount of errors, amount of missed tackles, that is more telling on a game than a few referee calls, in my opinion. Especially the one, as Wall said, that Ricky Stewart said, you're having a look at something that happened in the 79th, 59th minute of the game. And people are going, that cost them the game. No, that didn't cost them the game. Look at the previous 78 and a half minutes, or whatever the hell it was. Like, it's just such a cop-out for me going after referees. And I honestly think, because, you know, there's headlines about it all over the place. Referee did this. Referee, someone demanded a public whipping and an apology to Gerard Sutton that he got a position run. Like, for me, it's the biggest issue currently in rugby league, the belief that you should be blaming referees for shit like this. Like, and for me, it comes down to, you know, in rugby union, especially in international games, I don't know so much about the, you know, the Queensland Reds level, but a referee's decision happens and it might be wrong, which I'm not saying they aren't wrong, but they might be wrong, might be right, doesn't matter. The players talk for about 5 seconds, or, you know, something happens. The commentators spend about 30 seconds on it, or even less than that, but then they move on. It's not a headline in rugby union. But for some reason in rugby league, and I'm not sure about other sports, AFL, NFL, I don't know what's going on in America about referee decisions, I can't tell you. But in rugby league, you know, so much time gets spent on these referees that move on for me. Like, you can't control that. These guys get what I'd say 98% of their decisions right. that can't be said for an NRL player who gets paid $1 million compared to these guys who probably gets paid, you know, between 200 and 300 grand a year to be a referee. Like, and there's no glory in that for them at all. Like, they literally get booed at grand finals and say, of Origin will never receive their bloody things. Like, there's nothing in it for these referees except doing what they love, and they just get cop a raw deal from it every single week. And for me, it all starts with the commentators not doing it, so no one hears about it, so it just flows on from there. And I think that needs to be a mandate at Fox Sports, but that's not
going to happen.
Not going to happen because it's not a headline. But someone's got to put their foot down and go, you know what, made a wrong decision. Move on. Let's play football. Like, and we're taught that at 7 years old when we play football. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think the Dragons Raiders one had nothing to do with the referee themselves. It's the rule, not the referee. And could they have blown a penalty there? 100% they're allowed to, but they're not going to because that's not how they're taught to referee anymore. If you see a six again, give them a six again. And it's the biggest flaw in this rule. We talked about it the day the rule came out. The only upside to this whole thing is it's the first time the media has been questioning the positives of this rule and whether the positives of it overrule the negatives. And I think looking at the public opinion of people talking about it, more people are now leaning on the, is this rule actually good for the game because of how many games are now literally being decided based on the negative influence of the rule, not the refereeing of the rule itself, compared to the positive outcomes. That's the only upside, and it's hopefully going to keep going so we get rid of this fucking thing. Another thing I saw on the weekend was one of the other rules that was changed that still doesn't get talked about much was the Sharks.
Who were they playing?
Dogs.
Dogs, thank you. The Dogs finally got a little bit of ball and they half kicked it and it rolled out. But they gained territory for it. And the commentator said, I bet you wish that stayed in. I was like, well, as a team kicking now, you get the advantage because the other team's coming out from a play the ball, which is way easier to defend than a scrum. And I was like, that's such a big difference in the game where teams used to get themselves out of trouble by kicking down and kicking it dead, but then you still had to defend off a scrum. So only like a little bit of rest. I was like, well, that's still a huge difference. I'm more surprised that it took this long for a team for it to get into this situation. I thought in Origin 1, New South Wales probably would have taken 3 or 4 penalty shots in front of goal, but they weren't allowed to because they kept getting 6 again. Talking about over the horizontal, why didn't Nelson Asofa Solomone get penalised for flipping Ruben Garrick upside down? Did anyone see that try off the scrum?
Yeah, but Rumi Garrick deserved
it. It was fucking hell. Nelson Asofa Solomone is second receiver off the scrum, and he just had a full head of steam and took Rumi Garrick, taking him one-on-one. He just got fucking steamrolled. He flipped upside down. I was like, as long as you're the ball carrier, you're asleep.
Yeah, no, but that is a massive issue, I believe. Like, for me,
I thought that was hilarious.
If that flipped on its head, if the ball carriers and turn someone else on their head, it doesn't get talked about. Same with when they run the ball.
Oh, I was saying as a joke, Jared, but yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Their natural, no, but going back to the shoulder charge rule, their natural action movement, but that never gets looked at. It's just like, oh, that guy put his head in the wrong position. If he hits his shoulder on the head,
it's also the attacking team until it's time to score a try.
It's also one attacker running against 3 or 4 people trying to tackle him.
Yeah, but it's a one-on-one tackle.
If you have to run upright every time, you're going to get absolutely folded. So you've got to do something to protect and, you know.
Yeah, but my point still says, if it's a one-on-one tackle, he does a shoulder charge motion with the ball in his hand. Old mate hits his head on the shoulder. It's not a, how dare that attacker do that to him. It's a, old mate put his head in the wrong position.
Yeah, 100%. If a rugby union forward came to league, the ball runner would get done for a hit drop in the first thing. So they're taught to hit, get to the ground, put the ball back. They're going to hit the defender in the knees or in the quad, drop straight to the ground and cripple.
Brilliant. But rugby union sucks. So next big controversy coming out of the weekend was Brian Toto has announced that in the World Cup, he will not be eligible. Marking his eligibility for Australia, will be playing for Samoa. I don't necessarily like it, but in saying that too, the rules allow it, so whatever. Like it's a product of what the NRL and the International Rugby League has created for themselves. And Brian Toto, why it looked good for Australia. And no one actually is blowing up about the fact that Jerome Luai did the same thing. And everyone's like, you can go, mate. Go have fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
you won't play. I don't know Australia how I feel about this. I don't like it, but... No. Like, part of you is like, that's great. He wants to represent Samoa. He, like, the easy option is to play for Australia. You get paid more and you're a chance of winning the comp. He's saying, nah, I want to represent my heritage. That's sweet. The thing I don't like is the fact that, you know, the old unspoken rule used to be you can play for your tier two nation if you're not picked for your tier one nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think you should be able to pick and choose. It's okay. You're eligible for Australia. That's your number one preference. However, you weren't picked. Now you can play for Samoa. I think that's how it needs to be. Otherwise, it's just this grey area where you don't even have people that want to represent Australia playing Origin. And I don't think that goes against everything Origin's about.
Yeah, and it should be like it's not in rugby league, but it should be a higher honour to play for Australia than play for New South Wales. But it's not. It's harder to get picked for New South Wales and Queensland than it is to get picked for Australia. All honesty, like, people will pull out of the World Cup before they pull out of a State of Origin game.
My issue with this one is he said this after being selected for New South Wales. Now, the issue with when they're talking about Katoni Staggs and Daniel Tupou was if I don't get picked for New South Wales, I'll play for Tonga. That's the issue I have, because then once they've been selected for Origin, they're in. Now they can make a decision of who they want to play for at the end of the year. I don't like that way. I think an easy way, just like the easiest way to settle it, would be at the start of the season, at the start of whenever they sign their NRL contract, whatever. They have to put down what country they will represent if they're selected straight away. And if it's not Australia, you can't get picked for Origin.
How's it work now? You have to put your eligibility, don't you? It's not preference, it's eligibility.
Is
that right?
That's for Origin.
Preference,
yeah.
Right?
That's just it.
If they are so keen to represent Samoa, why did they play Origin 2 and not for Samoa?
$20,000.
Well, how important is your heritage?
Yeah, I know. I someone actually triggered me on the weekend because I was talking about this with someone and they're like, well, because actually, I don't know how. I shouldn't announce this. So a friend of the family had a kid over another country. And I was saying to them that they have to, when they come over here, the kid's going to land in New South Wales. So theoretically, you're going to land in Sydney. That means there must be a New South Wales supporter. And they're like, and then I was telling my missus that for my kid, I nearly took it out of Tweed Heads a week before she was due so she could have the baby in New South Wales. So it's new. But they're like, oh, Ali must support Queensland because she was born in Queensland. It's called State of Origin. State of Origin is the loosest fucking term these days. It means nothing.
There's six or seven criteria.
It's trying too hard to meet with the times, but also what it's trying to do is pump up the international game too much, where they should be putting everything into the national game, like the Australia game, because State of Origin should be very, very clear cut, in my opinion. But now there's so many convoluted rules. So, you know, you've got to come over here with 14 and you can play your first senior game there, or I don't know what it was. And all you have to do is go back and read the headlines about Renato and Mulitalo because, what, he missed it by 2 weeks or something. to play or something like that. So the whole thing's completely convoluted. It's not state of origin anymore. It's just it's a game that's trying to be the best while pumping up the tier two nations. That's all it is.
I think for once this is just a simple fix, and I think people have to stop thinking or trying to say that state of origin's the best of the best players. It's not. It's never been based on the best players. It's based on the state versus state, bro. Ruben Cotter is not one of the best props in the NRL. I'm sorry. He's just not. But he's one of the hardest working players. He brings a lot of effort. He brings a lot of confidence, motivation.
He brings in the Queensland spirit.
I was going to talk about his influence on the Cowboys, but that's why he then got selected for the Maroons, because he's not going to let the person next to him down. But he's also not going to develop into freaking Shane
Jesse Bromwich.
Yeah, it's just not the sort of player that he is. But how many people... there was more money on him for man of the match in game one at $34 than any other player, because people were excited to see what he was going to bring and thought he was going to have a good game. That's what makes state of origin awesome. That's why I'll never miss a Manly Newcastle game, because I freaking hate Newcastle. Newcastle hates Manly, but both our teams are shithouse.
I like
it. It's going to be a horrible game, but I'm going to watch that over a Penrith Melbourne game, because I'm a Manly fan, even though that's got better quality players in it, because the hate between Manly and Newcastle is always worth watching. And that's what state of origin's about. And I think if at the start of the season you put down, I'm eligible for these countries, but the one I'm choosing to play for is this one, and that's set in stone at the start of the season.
And what I think, you're not picked.
You're not picked. You're not good enough.
Yeah, okay.
Same with the World Cup. I don't think we should bend rules just to get better players in, just so they can play for another country.
Yeah, look, it is. It's never going to be a solved issue. Everyone's going to have a complaint about it. It is what it is. I think we can all agree that Jerome Luai can play for Samoa. Okay, so now we're going to quickly run through the games from the weekend and just...
Oh. I thought I was going to hit my 15 minutes. We're going to throw some things at you. Come on.
Okay, first game on Thursday night, Manly tried their best to lose to Melbourne.
It's all done.
Well, they're up 36-12 with about 10 minutes to go, and there's four tries in 5 minutes or something.
4 minutes to go.
So we're going to do this quickly. Manly, despite the fact they beat Melbourne, did it in the hardest way they possibly could.
They said, well, they're not a top team.
I really don't understand how Des Haslam still has hair. Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
He's got a lot, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got the reverse effect.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, like, stress grows hair. I don't know. But, yeah, he's all for it, eh? Craig Bellamy, if you listen to Brandon Smith's interview on Monday night with Matty Johns, it was the scariest... He's seen Craig Bellamy in, and Jesse Bromwich actually has been there longer. Scariest Craig Bellamy's ever been at halftime. And they played on the Thursday. And they usually have, when they play on Thursday, you have 3 to 4 days off after to get ready. Then they come back because there's usually about a 10-day turnaround or something like that. They had a full army boot camp fitness session on Sunday because Craig Bellamy was that pissed off.
Did you see him at halftime?
Yeah, how good.
Bellamy was so angry at halftime, he almost walked into the Manly change room. It was halfway, and then like you could see all the Manly stuff up, and he's like, oh fuck. He was already going through what he was going to be doing.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was fucking
But yeah. 36-30, congratulations, Manly. They beat Melbourne. What this does do is put Penrith 4 points clear, so 2 games clear. No, 6 points clear on the top of the ladder. So 3 games clear on the top of the ladder, so that's pretty significant. You probably put them down for minor premiership now, couldn't you? Next game, definitely the game of the weekend. High flyers going at it. massive, massive result. Newcastle 38, Gold Coast 12. Clearly, Demise, highly contested, highly competitive, quality game. You know, all the adjectives I can think of. Eight tries between the two wingers for Newcastle.
Which didn't have to do much for any of them.
No, not at all. It was,
Cedric Lee's fourth try.
That was probably the biggest fuck up of the round. Eh? No one gave a shit because it was such a the game was already over at that point.
Just on Edric Lee, so it's funny, right? Everyone's like saying how the Dolphins need a marquee signing. Edric's the man.
That's right. Yes. We got him.
Captain Coach.
I can't wait for him to play outside Brinko. Lee to Lee.
They're cousins, aren't they?
Yeah.
But everyone's pumping up Edric Lee. Like, I said it all year, Dominic Young's having a good year. Like, he's not a bad player.
He's not Edric Lee, but he's doing pretty well.
Not bad for a POM.
He's playing for Jamaica in the World Cup.
Their jerseys are legit.
Unless he gets picked for England. But I'm pretty sure Dominic Young would probably be the captain for Jamaica in the World Cup, the way he's going. Next game, Pembroke, 26 points to Roosters 18. Despite the referee calls, Roosters put a pretty good fight here. I thought it was great. Really good game to watch too.
I thought they were the better team, to be honest. Joey Manu at six was
different. Everywhere that bloke goes.
Yeah, he's a footballer, right? Like, it gave him that unstructured play that they've probably been lacking. They've been very structured this year. So, whether he's a long-term six, I don't know. I think he's still a fullback, but it just gives him something different, different point of attack. Yeah, I think he's a fullback.
How much money do you reckon he can get on the market right now?
Probably close to a mil.
I reckon it'd be more than a mil.
Oh, Joey Manu?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't even ask me these questions.
I'm
in the minority, but I think, to me, he's 1.5 plus.
Yeah.
What?
I'm just saying the NRL salary cap's too small to start with. Like, an average player should earn a million.
Cut it out.
$43 million profit. Cough.
Next game, you got 40 points salary Cowboys of 10 million. Let's go.
Derby.
To 26 for the Broncos. Cowboys shit all over them.
You've skipped a couple of games.
Oh, sorry. One game. I just don't want to talk about this. 18-6, Cronulla and Bulldogs. Worst game of the year. Horrible. Rainy. That's the only fun part of it. There was a bit of rain.
Knights-Titans is pretty bad.
Mate, did you not hear the adjectives I threw out earlier? Just relax, okay?
Can I just say on this, I think, so after Burton's Origin performance, everyone just lost their shit about how good he is, and Buzz Rothfield saying he's the next million-dollar man, blah, blah, blah. Any talk of that needs to stop because he was average best. Like, the game was there for the taking, and he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, see, I've said it all year that Nicho Hynes has been better buy for Cronulla than Matt Burton has been for Bulldogs. He's done so much more.
Absolutely.
And Nicho Hynes has probably had a few bad games recently too.
I put a tweet out saying Hynes showing the gap between him and Burton in this game. And I had a couple of people send back laughing emojis. I'm like, are you laughing at yourself or are you trying to laugh at their comment? Because he's better in all facets of the game.
Yeah. So back to what I said, 40 points to 26, Cowboys over Broncos.
That was the best game. That was so much fun to watch. It was 6-4 at halftime, wasn't it?
8-6 at halftime. Yeah, they just teed off at each other in the second half. And it was just Cowboys just dominated. And Broncos, they've shown some potential. Full credit to them. They've got a lot of players on the sideline.
I don't think the Cowboys dominated because Broncos scored a bunch, like, right towards the end, and the Cowboys scored a bunch just prior to that, and it literally came into chunks.
But even when Broncos were scoring their tries, they didn't, like, they scored 73 and 76 minute.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
My point is, when they did score them, they didn't even think they're going to win at that point. Like, from the onwards, Cowboys are just dominating.
Yeah, well, it's the most points I've ever scored against the Broncos. But I think just watching this, I was thinking more about the other Queensland team and how far they dropped in a season compared
to the direction of these two. Close to Newcastle. That is a compliment.
Well, I had Titans because they'd beaten you guys like four of the last six or something. But I was thinking, imagine if the Titans were out in the field right now.
Yeah.
How much they'd be getting toweled up by either of these teams.
Yeah. It was.
They've taken such a step back.
Next game on the back of Latrell Mitchell returning. 30 points, South Sydney over 12, Parramatta. Parramatta just looked a bit lost in this game for me. Like, they struggled. Oh, I actually thought they'd do it right because they had a week off and they usually, you know, redo themselves. You know, I thought they'd do it right and I thought they'd rock up expecting a hard game from South, and when they do that, actually play well. But I thought they looked a bit lost in this game.
Very, very flat performance.
Yeah, yeah, I feel sorry for the Tigers next week, though.
Oof. Burgess has played so well. They're going to get
their ass kicked.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, he actually stood up really well in this game.
Burgess had a good season, Burgess.
Yeah, he was.
He's played really well.
I think Parramatta really missed Madison on Saturday night. I think that's probably been glossed over a lot. There wasn't really much talk. There's a lot of talk about how poor Parramatta were, but a lot of their second phase comes off Maddo and a lot of their go forward, but. And that was just flat. I think they just thought they, once again, it's just power thinking they can rock up and beat whoever they play that isn't a top four team. So I'm still not concerned though, mate. They'll still be there.
I'm not even going to get into that. We do not have the time.
Oh.
And then the next game, we touched on it a bit earlier. Warriors emotionally just destroyed the Tigers. Tigers were never going to contend in this game. We called it about 15 weeks ago when. Yeah, and we maintained that throughout the whole time that once Warriors came back to New Zealand, whoever they came up against, they're going to win. But yeah, good on Warriors. I thought, 22-2 over Tigers.
In West's credit, I thought they actually handled the emotion pretty well to start the game. Like, Warriors had all the possession, and West just kept repelling them and kept repelling them, and actually had a chance to score first after about 20 minutes. And once Warriors scored, that's just floodgates open, but it was just, I think, game over after that. But good for the Warriors. Everyone that wasn't a West fan was supporting the Warriors on Sunday, which is it's good to see.
I'm pretty sure some of the West fan were doing it. Everyone see the shoey?
Yeah.
Yeah. How good! I did it twice. And then the last game in the round. Whoa. 12-10 over the absolute grubs, the worst players in the NRL, including Jordan Rapana, who's leading that list, the Canberra Raiders.
Mate, chalk up another 3 points for Ben Hunt. Honestly, the man is on fire. He'll get man to match on Wednesday.
Should have been sent off, mate.
Six again. Know the rules. But honestly, mate, like, He was pretty quiet in the first half, but he just took over at the right time. Like, his kicking game late in the second half, just he was kicking him into the corners. Some of the defensive plays he came up with in the last few minutes, the scrambles, he's from the bloke that we had 2 years ago that looks so lost as a footballer to what he's turned into as a leader since Hook's come in. He's just, it's chalk and cheese. But I thought what laid the platform for us was our starting pack. Like, Jack DeBell and Tarek Sims were huge. That's the best game I've seen Tarek Sims play all year. He was hard. He was running through the line again. And they sort of laid the platform for us. And, you know, Moses Sully's showing Manly why he should have got an opportunity last year. He's absolutely killing it at the moment. And,
Wait, so is Morgan Harper, mate. Come on.
I think we've won 7 of our last 10.
Okay. And guys,
you didn't mention also Jared Wallace 2 weeks for flipping over Simi Sasagi.
Yeah. Oh,
you got sent off for it.
Clemmer's an absolute muppet. You can see straight away.
That cost
away.
Me in fantasy. It literally cost me a win.
Yeah.
I don't,
you can see
I don't
straight
think...
away. you can see straight away Jared Wallace knew what he did and was like about to check on Sasungi. And then Clemmer comes in with a little uppercut. Like, he's just an absolute muppet.
Mate, I'm just mad he didn't do the same thing, the fucking Lomax. Okay.
Lomax would have dropped him. Lomax would have knocked his shit.
You're making me laugh so hard. I just got a message from the missus. The baby's asleep. Shut up. Just cut it out. Hi, guys. That's the end for this round. Thanks for jumping on, Adam, as our special guest tonight. Well, as always, mate, you're an absolute legend for jumping on, despite the fact you support Dragons.
Jared was here.
And I was here. I thought that was very successful. But other than that, guys, we will see you guys on drop one. I'll drop this tomorrow morning. So today, as you're listening to it. See you guys on Wednesday night.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.